Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. That's Ezekiel 18, verse 4. In Proverbs 11:3, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now we see from these two scriptures here that the soul that sins will surely die. Every one of us since the fall of Adam was born into sin. Yet the soul that sins shall die. Now we all know that we're going to die a natural death. That came by the sin of Adam too. If we die before the Lord comes, we die a natural death. But the soul that dies is speaking of something different. It's speaking of eternity. When we speak of a soul dying, we mean that the soul that was created to be eternal will die or go to a place reserved for departed souls that do not know the Lord, that are still in their sin when they die a natural death. Hell, of course, was created for the devil and his angels. When they rebelled against God, it was created for them, so that there is a final place for people to go that are still in their sin. The reason being, God has to put a stop to sin eventually. When the end time and the end judgment comes, he has to have a place reserved for those who rebel against God and who refuse his way of salvation. If he did not have that, sin would and suffering would continue for eternity. And God is going to put a stop to it. And that is why I am increased more and more, and I hope to stir up others to increase more and more in their desire to see people saved and born again by the Spirit of God. I don't want people to go to hell. There is a hell, no matter how we try to get around it, but I don't want people to go there. Now, God made a way so that we don't have to go there. But he also has called vessels to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to begin to tell people about the way of salvation. He doesn't just come down here and send the angels to preach. I know during the tribulation an angel does come down and preach, because I believe the church is gone then. But that's just, I don't want to get into that. That's controversial stuff. And right now I want to concentrate on winning the lost to Jesus Christ. He uses us. When we are born again by his Spirit, we all have a calling. Not all of us are called to teach, not all of us are called to preach. But we all have a calling. Maybe we're called to pray. Pray for those that are out preaching. I don't know. We have to seek God for our own calling to be fulfilled. But we need to be concerned about the lost that's dying without Jesus all around us. Because if they die in their sins, they will go out into eternity in a place called hell, because all who follow Satan will go where Satan goes. If we follow Christ, we will go where Christ is. It is simple as that. He has to stop. God has to stop sin eventually, and he has to make this final thing end one day. We are here to proclaim his hope. The hope of the gospel that will get people saved and into eternity. Safe in Jesus Christ. The soul that sins shall surely depart into a place of this eternal torment. If we do not reach them for Jesus Christ and tell them the good news of the gospel, they might go there. Jesus came to save all who would believe. He came to save us from sin so that sin will not be in us at our time of natural death. Jesus told the Jewish people one time that was listening to him, said, if you believe that, do not believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If we do not believe Jesus is the Christ that came to take away our sins, we will die in our sins. He's the only way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus said in John 14. He's the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus came to save all who would believe from their sins. But he uses us as vessels. He fills us with the Holy Ghost and he sends us out to save the lost and present the gospel to them. We know that unless the soul is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that soul will die in their sins. The blood of Jesus has to cover the sin, cleanse the soul from sin before they can enter the kingdom of God and be granted eternal life. For a soul that has been saved from sin, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's a hope. It's a beginning. But that eternal life abides in us now. It is birthed in us. The moment we're born again, that eternal life comes into us and it's birthed in there. And there's a beginning. The Holy Spirit changes us. We pass from death to life. We pass from darkness to light. We became alive. You know we're dead before we come to Christ. We're actually dead, spiritually dead. When Christ comes in, it lights up our life. He's the light of the world. He lights up our soul. We become changed. Old things are passed away. All things become new. If there had been another way to save lost mankind, God would not have sent His Son to suffer and die in such a manner. Die for our sins when He didn't deserve to die. He didn't have any sins of His own. He died for ours. He died in our place. He suffered for us because we sinned. And it was the only way. There was not a man in heaven or earth that could have died for sins except Jesus Christ. Because all of us have sinned, we'd have to die for our own sin. We couldn't die for anyone else's sin. We would have to die for our own. In John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We need to get this message to as many people as possible while there's time. Time is passing. While we have the freedom to do so, we might lose that freedom. I don't know. The church has no time to play golf, and I'm not against playing golf. It's just a saying I have. We don't have time to play games. Now, I'm not against recreation. I don't believe in legalism and making rules like that. Because I believe it takes away from the hope of the gospel. But we really don't have much time. The time is at hand. The Lord's coming. It's time to become in the same mind and one accord with one goal, and that's to win the lost to Jesus Christ, to get as many as we can saved. Except the soul is born again by the Spirit of God, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. How urgent. Now is the time. We start out this great commission by prayer. That's the first step. That's why I'm calling for prayer meetings and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not interested in worrying about whether one receives the Holy Spirit when they're first saved or whether He comes later. No matter when the Holy Spirit comes, we need to be filled with the Spirit at all times in order to win the lost to Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is what draws the sinner to salvation. We need to rely on the Spirit of God and not on our programs and formats. We all have different callings and they're different. I'm not into which church is right or even which church to go to. I'm interested in getting us to start seeking God in our prayer closets and in small groups to get direction and be filled with the Spirit so that we can get insight and direction from the Holy Spirit about how to do things, what to do, and what our calling is, and to be concerned about winning souls for Jesus Christ. One of us may be called to be a prayer warrior and pray for the others. Some of us may be called to start in-home Bible studies and prayer meetings. Some of us may be called to preach or teach in-depth Bible studies, be a missionary, raise money for missions, or start a church. But the place to start all these things is to begin to pray, have prayer meetings, begin to seek the face of God fervently. You know, the Church of God was started by two men who fervently began to pray because they saw the condition of the church was lukewarm, cold. They began to pray. The church was full of nothing but tradition. It was dead spiritually. Two men began to pray, and out of it came the Church of God. And this is also no time to worry whether or not a woman should preach, whether we should be independent or part of a denomination, whether we should have church in a building or in someone's home. My concern is not on tradition, but in getting people who are lost in our neighborhoods to Jesus Christ, and to encourage believers to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, be filled with the Spirit, and begin to listen to the call of God, no matter what that call is. We need to break out of our shells and start reaching beyond our own traditions and four walls of our churches. The church needs revival, and we need to start praying for revival. Not praying for revival in my own local church, but revival all over the world. Not in my own denomination, but all over the world. Before we even begin, though, we must remember to walk in love or we're wasting our time. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, when ye have love one to another." Without this perfect love, we might as well quit here and now. Our young people and children have enough entertainment to last a lifetime. They got video games, they got this, and they got that. Now, they don't need the church copying the world and trying to get them interested in church with more entertainment. We've got to get the kids to Jesus. And the best method is not more programs, but just to love them. They need love. They need someone to care about them as individuals. Not as a group, but as each individual. They are looking for someone that just cares about them. And we got to be for real, because they can see through a fake faster than anyone else. These young people can. And we have to love them. We have to be concerned by their individual souls. They need someone to be interested in them and what happens to them. Now, we can plan youth conventions. I'm not against any of this, but bring in famous singers who can draw crowds and get the kids to the altar with a lot of emotional hype. But what happens when the emotion's gone and there's no music? The bands leave town and go to another town. We still got them. We got to love them. We got to care what happens to them and pray fervently for them. We need to pray for our youth that God would raise up more people among them to carry on the work of the church and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Peter said, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." We've got to have this love. We can't be fighting over trivial things. It's time for the church to come together in love. And I'm not talking about a false love and a false unity that lays down all the sound doctrine of how to be saved and waters down the gospel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real, true word of God, a unity in spirit and in truth. See, the Holy Ghost does not agree to a lie. He's the Spirit of truth. We can't have unity in lies. We got to have unity in spirit and in truth. Being born again of corruptible seed, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we do need to take soul winning. So we do need to take soul winning very seriously. So do we need to take soul winning classes? Now, we could, if we want to mimic and copycat what someone else does. Or we can begin by praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us into what we should do and how we are to do it. If we faithfully study God's Word, the Holy Spirit will faithfully bring the right things to our remembrance at the right time. Now, I've read things about soul winning before. One thing I read was not to use words like being saved or born again. Well, Jesus used these words, so why can't we? So many have watered down the message of salvation. We've come from repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, to just accept Jesus in your heart. Now, where does the Bible actually say that? The gospel is simple, yes, but it does involve being born again by changing, by turning from sin. It involves being cleansed from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Jesus said, "He that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." To believe in him is to partake of him. To allow his righteousness to cover our sins. To believe in his word. Jesus said that if we love him, we will keep his word. And he said, "My Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him." The Father and the Son, through the person of the Holy Spirit, comes into us and makes their abode with us when we really believe and we are willing to turn from our sin. Father and the Son come within us. Now, I guess you could say that we're accepting Jesus in our heart, but it's more than that. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's repenting, it's turning away from the way we're living now and turning to Christ with all of our heart and soul and mind. We must have a heart willing to forsake sin and allow the Spirit of God to change us from the inside out. Allow Jesus to remove the sin. He then closes with the righteousness, with his righteousness, and we become born again by the Spirit. Now, we do receive the Holy Spirit when we're saved. If we did not, we wouldn't be saved. What confuses people is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gives us power for service. Now, that can come at salvation. But I don't want to get into that. Just seek to be filled with the Spirit all the time. I believe you can be filled with the Spirit every day. There's no end to how much we can be filled with the Spirit. But we must allow the Holy Spirit to continue to fill us once we're saved. There is no time to sit back and think we have it all and there's nothing more that we can receive from God. No, we must receive and then freely give what we receive. By our calling, we need to find out what it is, what our calling is. Is our calling praying for the sick, evangelizing, pastoring a church, teaching, exhorting other believers, prayer warrior, or something else I'm not even thinking of? We must receive what God wants us to have, and we need to be filled with the Spirit in order to carry out whatever He calls us to do, so that we're equipped to serve by the Spirit of God and not by our own traditions, methods, programs, and such. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord, our God, shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Listen to Peter's simple message. Repent and be baptized. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, there were many that were around, seeing and hearing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They heard something different. They wanted to find out what it was that was happening. And Peter got up and took the opportunity to preach the simple message of repentance and believing in Jesus. Now, so many get sidetracked off this message and worry about formulas, whether we're baptized in the name of Jesus only, or whether we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, whether we speak in tongues or whether we don't, whether water baptism is first and then receiving the Holy Ghost, whether water baptism is necessary for salvation. We can get into all this stuff, whether we are baptized in water and then receive the Holy Spirit. But in the book of Acts, we see it happening so many different ways. Some receive the Holy Spirit first, then is baptized in water. So we can't make formulas. The apostles found some that received Christ, but were not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the minute we try to make formulas, we'll find God doing something different. I read an article on the internet about rules concerning a pastor's hospital visits. He's only supposed to stay so long and never give any medical advice. There was a list of things a pastor should or should not do. Well, I noticed that our very own pastor would have broken every one of those rules I read about. We just can't make rules and traditions sometimes. We can try, but sooner or later, we may have to break out of our own traditional mold and find out what the Lord wants us to do. Our main focus should be on seeking to walk in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to shed the love of God in our hearts. In-depth Bible study is also important to keep the church from being deceived. Some of us may be called to this type of ministry. I love teaching the Word. And believe me, it's just as important as preaching the gospel because of the words that Jesus said to us in Luke 21:7. They ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and the time draws near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said to them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated for all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. Now we need also to remember to receive the word of God in our spirit. In James it says, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, we don't just hear the word, we don't just speak the word, we have to be doers of the word. For if any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. As we get concerned about the things of this life, the troubled economy, jobs, being accepted by the mainstream, we must remember the words of Jesus. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And he warns also in verse 38, Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Now I'm going to close by encouraging us to see the old paths. This verse is one of my favorite verses. It's where I get my email address from. In Jeremiah 6:16, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But alas, they said, We will not walk therein. What's our answer going to be to the Lord? Are we going to walk in His ways? Are we going to choose Him? Are we going to love His Word so He can abide within us? Are we going to go and walk our own way? It's our choice. He always gives us choice. I pray that we will make the right decision, accept the Lord in our life if we're not saved, and seek to walk in His Spirit if we are, and seek that other souls might find Jesus Christ.